can't think of what a raven is offhand. And Leviticus chapter 11, verse 15, calls this bird, this unclean bird, this scavenger, calls it an abomination. And yet Jesus is reminding us, God cares even for this creature. This is Jesus' point. When we drive down the road or you see these birds in your backyard, they're not sticking their beaks in the dirt and kind of pushing the dirt along, pushing it aside, and then dropping little seeds in a furrow and building out, they're not building up little barns. Well, these are scavengers, which God cares for. And yes, God's care for the creation shows we should care for it also, but Jesus' point here really is the fact of how generously God takes care of you and me. Because you're more important than the ravens. You're the one that's made in His image. You're the one He has set His love on and sent His Son to shed His righteous blood to save sinners like us. And see, when worry strikes, when it rears its ugly head, we need to think more about what God has promised and graciously done for us. In fact, we need to start making sometimes a journal for these things, writing down the answers to prayers. We need to remind ourselves of that. We need to do, as the hymn writer years ago said, count your blessings, count them one by one. Because worry will steal our hope, the remembrance that we serve a good and gracious God. And as we start counting those blessings, as we think about how God has answered our prayers, as we lift up His word to Him, we're going to see more and more what Acts 4 tells us, that He did not leave Himself without a witness, and that He did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. I mean, it's true, the greatest gift that we have is the gift of salvation. We will spend eternity praising God. We'll be so amazed how He saves sinners like us. And God's salvation is the most important thing. But the amazing thing that Christ is reminding us here is that God is also, our triune God, is also pleased to take care of us even in the smallest details of our life. To fill our mouth with food. To fill our lives with gladness and blessings. Even as the psalmist tells us, God has given us wine to make the heart glad and bread to strengthen the hearts. And where are you going to learn this? It's not going to be in the fog of worry, but by reading God's Word, His own self-testimony. In this Word, we have the reminder of God's good, everywhere present, providential care throughout all history. And it's argued on every page to our heart. And the Holy Spirit uses this, His Word, to make faith grow and eradicate the anxiousness of our hearts. So if you're worried, obviously you're not praying. And secondly, if we're worried, we're obviously not focusing on God's Word. And Jesus makes it clear, because the struggle, the problem with worry doesn't necessarily mean that you have no faith, but it is a sign of unbelief. It's a sign, as Jesus said, of little faith, as verse 28 tells us. Corrie ten Boom illustrated this. She was a woman, a Christian woman, who survived a Nazi concentration camp. And she illustrates this the issue of worry this way. She said, when the train goes through a tunnel and the world gets dark, do you jump out? Of course not. You sit still and trust the engineer to get you through. Jesus is saying, when we worry as Christians, we show that we have little faith. Because when the train of life goes through a tunnel, what do we usually want to do? We want to jump off, right? But God's still governing. He's still upholding all things. by his omnipotent hand. And when we remember that, it helps us, as the catechism says, to be patient in adversity. God is still enthroned in heaven. He laughs at the plans of men. Our triune God in Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. He rules over all. He even turns the hearts of kings as water in his hand. And this is the same God that not only takes care of the birds, but he clothes the fields with flowers, as Jesus points out, which even, I don't know if Solomon's riches in terms of now, but as Jesus points out, that even Solomon could not dress as fine as the clothes of the field, this billionaire, trillionaire, whatever he would be. And as Jesus says, if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, if God cares about such a small little detail of this universe, which we so often forget and overlook, even as we cut the grass, how many of us think about God cares, even about the grass? His providence upholds that grass. And Jesus says, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? See, your problem and mine is we don't trust God's providential care as we should, or how he values us as his elect children. Or that in the midst of our trials, in the midst of those things that God withholds from our lives to sanctify us and to draw us closer, we forget that he has a purpose which is greater than we can imagine. And if God cares for the tiniest, most insignificant details of this world, which we take for granted, won't he provide all that we need for our bodies and souls? That's what Jesus is arguing to us. Revealing our Heavenly Father to us. And he's promised. I mean, this is our God that has promised to turn even the greatest struggles of those who love him to be for our good and for his glory. And we may never learn why or how in this life. We're to have good confidence that God is doing what he's promised. This is the one who according to his plan of election, foreordained plan, turned the worst sin in all of human history, the murder of the very Son of God, the very Lamb of God, and he turned that to our salvation. Won't he turn even our little trials to be for our good and his glory? We need to stop stewing over things in our hearts and trust God. We need to pray. We need to cast our cares on him. And we need to even pray with the very groans of our burden and overwhelmed hearts. Praying even as a psalmist did, asking, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And we pray this not because we somehow have to inform God. Oh, he's omniscient. He already knows. He knows everything from the end to the beginning. He knows what we are facing. He even sets limits to our trials. But it's a way for the Lord to humble our own hearts and to be reminded he will provide. Now think about in our own lives. Earthly fathers take pleasure in giving their children what they need. If that's the case, how much more does our perfect Heavenly Father take pleasure in meeting your and my needs, what we really need? We talked about that at camp too. In fact, Jesus points this out in the last chapter in Luke 11:13. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How often when we're worrying do we say, Lord, give me your Holy Spirit? Usually it's give me this other thing that I think I need, right? Jesus is reminding us, God gives of himself to strengthen our assurance and our faith. because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And our Heavenly Father has already done, again, the hardest thing in bringing us salvation by Christ, His Son. Is He now somehow going to refuse to freely give us all things that we need? No. He may not give us the things we want, but He gives us what we need. In fact, James tells us we do not have because we do not ask. We're not trusting God to ask for those things He's told us to ask for. Have you asked God to take away your worry? To make you trust Him more? Worry is to be replaced by prayer. It's to be replaced even by thankfulness. It's to be replaced by trusting God. But again, that's the thing. Prayer is an area of our life where we exercise these things. Prayer forces us to change our perspectives, to admit that we can't help ourselves, but we have a God who can. We have a God whose power is made perfect even in our weakness, even in unanswered prayer, as Paul talked about. And we need this argued to our mind again and again, because God, through His Word, over and over says in so many different ways, do not be afraid, do not fear. Why do we need to hear that over and over again? Because we struggle with that. Need to argue God's faithfulness over and over for even the smallest details of our life, because we live and move and breathe by His sovereign care. We are those who were chosen before the foundation of the world, before we did anything good or evil. And knowing all this reminds us that we have no reason to act like the pagan nations. They're sitting there asking and worrying about the smallest details of their life because they don't have a Heavenly Father. They don't trust God. In fact, a few weeks ago, I was reading an article where OPEC, the oil nations, were recently asking, how do we keep the oil prices high so we can make more money and we can have what we want? That's worry. That's the unbelieving world that thinks that this world, this universe, was made by chance and will be destroyed by chance, and they live by fear to try to grab all that they can because they know it's going to slip through their fingers. Understand, unbelievers who think they are cosmic accidents, who do not repent, who do not trust the Lord, have every reason to worry. Because this world is the closest they'll ever get to heaven. And they will spend an eternity in hell unless God changes their hearts, unless they hear the gospel. But it's those who are forgiven, who are safe from condemnation of our sin, God always knows and understands, and He'll never turn His back on you or me. And we need to stop worrying about the what ifs, and to be honest, never usually come about anyway. And we need to stop focusing on living for earthly things, but God's kingdom. In fact, you think about it in the Lord's Prayer, what is the biggest thing you pray for? It's not for our daily bread, but it's for God's kingdom to come. Think about Jesus, in fact, draws our mind back to that even here as He says, your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek His kingdom and these things will be added to you. Worry is to seek the things of this life. They're going to slip through our fingers like sand anyway. Whereas we're called to trust the Lord and live for His kingdom. And we do that, lastly, knowing that we are called to trust God and remember He will give us the kingdom. Now here are some of the most wonderful words in all of Scripture. Jesus, our good shepherd, looks at His disciples. And He says in verse 32, He says, fear not, little flock. He says this to the disciples, but He's saying this to us as well. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. No matter what may happen in this life, No matter the heart-wrenching trials that we have to go through, no matter the burdens we bear, whether we can pay the bills or the fear even of if we can be loved or if we'll ever be loved, Jesus is saying your future and mine in which we will learn we are more loved by God than we can ever imagine. That future of life in eternity with God is secured for us. For you children who trust the Lord. And it's God's good pleasure to give us eternal life with Him. We don't have to sit there and pry it from reluctant fingers. No, He's holding it out to us freely through Christ. And Jesus is teaching us this so that we begin to have our understanding changed. So we look at life differently. Go back. Maybe it was kind of painful. So about a year ago, the Super Bowl in 2017. Think about how the Patriots were down 3-28. And many people thought all was lost, but I was reading about this, and Brady evidently went up and down the sideline saying, just do your job, just do your job. And he'd go down the line, just do your job. Don't worry about the score, just do your job. And we know they had the greatest comeback in the history of football for the win. If they would have known what was going to happen, would they have worried? If we know our team's going to win, it doesn't matter how much they are down. In fact, I remember hearing about an elder down in St. Louis. He had recorded the game, and he was watching it later, and somebody sat there and said, well, why aren't you worried? They were down two. And he says, well, I heard the final score. I'm not worried. Well, as Christians, no matter how much life may at times seem against us, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. God will have the final and the complete victory. That's the point of Revelation, the book of Revelation. A blessed eternal life is secure as God's gracious gift. And so why worry? It's God's pleasure to give what He has promised. In fact, keeping your eyes on eternity and what Jesus has promised, again, should change how we look at everything. Our times, our finances, our priorities. An amazing thing, too, and something else Jesus adds here, is while we can't take it with us, we can send it ahead by investing in the eternal kingdom of God, living and serving God, making Him the priority. That's why Jesus tells us to hold on loosely to our possessions, being willing to give it up. He says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. In other words, stop living for yourself. Stop being greedy. And he says, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail. What are we striving for? Bigger homes, better cars, better education, get our kids into college. All sorts of things that will happen, all sorts of things that will fail in this life and fall apart. Had a little bit of that even on the trip this week here. As Reverend Marinelli was having car problems. Cars break down. Only the treasure in heaven will not fail. It can never be stolen away or destroyed by rust or moths. And when Jesus concludes, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Worry shows our treasures in this world. And again, we should work hard. We should do well. We should save up. But that's not an end to itself. No, it's ultimately to be used in God's kingdom. For the spread of the gospel. Looking to the Philippines, or looking to the Congo, to Canyon, those churches we help support, or even thinking of those orphans we help support in those areas. Or thinking of the gospel, needing to go out to your neighbor and praying, Lord, help me to understand, how do I reach them? That's investing yourself in God's kingdom. See, God is not to be a little slice of your life on Sundays. or whenever he fits your agenda. No, we're to seek the Lord, to be useful to the Lord in his kingdom always. We're not to worry about the gilded treasures of dust in this life, but to focus, storing up our treasure in heaven, living for the Lord, and have the everlasting longing pull at our hearts to make us thankful rather than worrying, and rather than worry pulling us down to this earth with fear. The more we're focused on his kingdom through our tithe, through serving the Lord with everything we have, even our families, the more we'll see how wonderfully he provides for us. And our generosity to the Lord's work will always, always be outdone by his blessings. This is why the stewardship of our money and time frees us from worry. Because what we need is what God gives us. All this stuff is just on loan from God to enjoy him through. But they're also his tools that he's giving to us to use in his kingdom. And one day, all those things that we're tempted to pursue and worry about, you know, they'll be long forgotten and shown to be unimportant in the light of eternity. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God has given us so much. Not to feed our worry, but to enjoy him through. To have our needs filled. But the main reason God has filled our hands with so many good things is so that we would be strengthened to further his kingdom. That's why God has given us so much. And the more closely you follow him, the less you'll worry. Scottish preacher William Burns was about to leave his homeland to serve as a missionary in China. And he must have been worrying because another pastor, and the pastor's nickname is Rabbi Duncan because he was a missionary to Jews in Hungary. But this other pastor, Rabbi Duncan, said to William Burns, he says, "Take you care of his cause." In other words, make serving God your first purpose. Don't worry about the needs. Don't worry about the future. And he says, then Rabbi Duncan said, "And he will take care of your interests. Look after his glory, and he will look after your comfort." We need to think about that more. When we're tempted to worry, remember that and argue the wonderful words of our Savior from this text this morning to your hearts. For God does not just say, "Don't worry, be happy." He tells us to trust in him, and we have every reason to do that because God's shown how faithful he is. So don't worry, but be confident even for the future. We have every reason to trust him who has loved us and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God give us the grace to turn away from worry, to trust our good and sovereign Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. And what an amazing thing that we as sinful creatures can even lift up our voices to pray and call on you in this way, and you hear us. Strengthen our faith in the truth that you are good and you are perfect and you rule by your providence over everything for your glory to provide even for your children in this. Open our eyes to see that. Take away our worries, our fears, our anxieties, and all that burdens us. For worry belongs to the world, not to God's kingdom, not to the life of the Christian. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have worried, and help us to put off our worries and put on faith. Help us to put off worry and to trust you and seek your glory and the advancement of your kingdom instead of stewing over the countless things we so easily get entangled in with the cords of worry. Bless us and sanctify us, not merely as individuals, but as a church. Make us to live and move in thankful faith in you, our Heavenly Father, whose kingdom rules over all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.